Good morning. Welcome to Grace. I'm excited. This is the last Sunday in January. You know, I was telling the confirmation kids, if I was a month, I wouldn't want to be January. Because, no, I mean, February's going to have winter too and snow and cold, but it's just okay because it's not January. So anyway, I'm sorry. If you love January, I apologize. I'm just not a big fan because anyway. So welcome to Grace on this beautiful, beautiful last Sunday in January. Nice to not have sub-zero temperatures and the wind blowing. Pretty nice morning. You all made it here. Welcome if you're in the sanctuary. Welcome if you're out in the parking lot listening on the radio. And welcome if you're at home taking this in online. So good to see you. Just a few announcements before we get started. First of all, Michelle Teberg wants to just thank all of you for your many prayers and good thoughts during Lily's recent health crisis. And she's on antibiotics. She's doing well, this little cute little redhead girl. So Michelle just wanted to thank you all for your prayers. And then also, it didn't make it into the bulletin, but there is quilting on Monday and Tuesday of this week at 9 o'clock. Okay, so quilters will be meeting for, I believe when I announce this, I usually attach the word merriment to the quilters because they are a merry band. They have fun and they quilt away. So today at 11 a.m., right after this service, we will be holding our annual business meeting, and then that'll be followed by a potluck fellowship meal. So if you want to wait around for a while, you'll eat well, but anyway, the potluck will be after the meeting. All are welcome. There will be plenty of food. Don't worry if you didn't bring anything, because there's a lot of food back there. There always is. Wednesday, 8 a.m., we continue our Bible study on the Gospel of John, weather permitting, because we canceled once again. So I asked the group, I think in December, if we should just cancel for January. And they said, no, we want to keep meeting. We met once in January. So just every Wednesday, there's some kind of weather events. So yeah, we're hopefully it's now February, so it's going to be sunny and nice, right? We hope anyway. And then right after that, 9:15 is the prayer group. We take a 15-minute break, and then so if you see a prayer card in the pew, feel free to fill that out, put it in the collection plate. It will be prayed for. Wednesday, 10 a.m. I will be in an online district meeting. I think I'm actually leading this meeting. So I got stuck with that. So anyway, I'll have to cut out early from the prayer group. Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., the Grace Youth, grades 5 through 12, meet for a meal, devotions, and games. We're excited about that. And speaking of youth group, we have a special announcement to make regarding a confirmation retreat. So Dacia, are you around here? Yes.
We're going to the one on the Ten Commandments, which is CR2. It's from March 11th through the 13th. So if parents want to sign up for the confirmation retreat, you can contact Brad or myself, and we'll help you get through that. All of the confirmants did go home with one today, so if you don't have one or don't see one, you can reach out and we'll get you that information as well. It's been a blast in the past. The kids really love it. We go, we hang out. They get to play games, but they also dig really deep into that information for that weekend. So I recommend it.
All right, and this is paid for by the church. So that's how much we believe in this, the importance of this. So it's paid for by the church. So if you have an confirmation age child, sign them up. We always have a good time. I think we'll have a pretty good dodgeball team this year. They're a bunch of killers. All right. So service opportunity. There's sign-up pages in the fellowship hall for to be a Sunday morning greeter. And then there's a sign-up sheet to feed the foundry. If you want to feed some hungry kids on Wednesday night, it's always a lot of fun. Next Sunday, February 6th, on our schedule, except that it's Communion Sunday next Sunday. So that'll be good. But again, Sunday school, confirmation, Bible study, 9 a.m., 10 a.m. worship, followed by food and fellowship. January mission, the Pelican Rapids Emergency Fund. This is a fund that all the churches contribute to, and then the police department administers it. So if somebody runs out of fuel oil and needs a little help, We can direct them to the police department, and they'll help. We have a wonderful police department in Pelican Rapids. They really do pick up a lot of slack in the community. So it's a very worthy giving opportunity. And as you go through to get your food after church today or after the business meeting, there will be a basket out there, and you can contribute in that way. So some thank yous go out to those who brought food and served last Sunday's fellowship time, and then to all of the council and board members who've completed their terms and are handing over the baton to someone else today. Thank you all. And there's a lot, but let's just give them a hand, okay? So really appreciate the work you've done for our church. So, all right, those are the announcements. Anything else? Going once? Going twice? All right, let's turn the corner into our worship service proper this morning, and let's open our service this morning in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's take a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts for worship.
Morning. It is so good to see all of you this morning, and we'd like to invite you to join us in our opening song of worship on the screen, Give Us Clean Hands.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil.
Our call to worship this morning is a responsive reading found in the book of Psalm 19, verses 8 through 9 and 11 through 14. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever.
The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
Moreover, by them is your servant warned.
In keeping them there is great reward.
Who can discern his errors? Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins.
I will not have dominion over me.
Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart
be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, you have given your holy scriptures for our nourishment. Grant that we may hear them, read them, and learn from them, being comforted by your promises. And growing in our faith in you. Amen. I'll ask any praise singers that would like to come forward. Join me up front for the hymn titled, We Praise You, O God. It's hymn number 5. All Creatures of Our God and King. It's hymn number 527 in the green hymnal.
Softer gleam, oh, praise him.
Sorry about that mix-up. I think when we look into it, it'll probably be my fault. I probably threw the wrong song onto the flash drive this morning, and so I think that was a song we sang last week. But anyway, it's been that kind of week for me. Been a crazy morning, too. So, but it's always good to come before God in a moment of honesty and truth. And as Gerhard Fruti said, theologians of the cross say what a thing is. We can put up our hand and say, yep, I've failed. We all have failed. We're all broken sinners living in a broken world, and we meet God on this common ground of His grace and forgiveness. And let's do that together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God is crystal clear on this promise from 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's claim that promise together right now. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God's promise to us: in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith, the ancient confession, the ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And God's peace be to each and every one of you.
First reading comes from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 12. The call of Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, 'Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see an almond branch. Then the Lord said to me, You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. Our second reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13, the way of love. I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love, the word of the Lord. Let us pray the prayers of the church. Lord of the nations, gathered before your throne are people of every tongue and tribe and nation, many of whom do not know you. Give to your church a passion to speak your good news and readily offer our prayers, our gifts, and ourselves to further your kingdom, which has no end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the hungry and homeless, for the unemployed and underemployed, for those who work in giving relief, and for our own giving spirit, that we may not neglect the poor nor fail to provide resources to the church to fulfill the Lord's bidding and spread the gospel to every place. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for your persecuted church who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
The song I'd like to share with you this morning is called Speak, O Lord. I've sung it before, so... Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ may be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purpose.
glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let their truth prepare over unbelief. Oh, speak, oh Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truth unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. And by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Oh, speak, oh Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
Thank you, Amy. What a blessing it is to gather together. And it's that time in the service where I'm going to ask if there's any kids who'd be willing to meet me over at the table in the chair. And Daisha's coming with the fruit snacks, too, so it'll be good. All right. Good to see you guys. All right. Well, how many of you know what a police car looks like? How do you know? How do you know it's a police car? Okay, because what? Okay, we saw them. It says police, and then is there anything on top of the car? The sirens and the lights. Have you ever seen those lights? You can see them from a long ways away, can't you? Now, I'm going to ask you guys to turn around and face the congregation here, because I'm going to ask them a question, and we're going to see how honest they are. All right, now I want you to raise your hand for the kids. If you're driving and you see a police car, if you automatically take your foot off the gas, raise your hand. Okay, thank you. They were all pretty honest. All right, you can turn back around. Now, why do you suppose they raise their hand? Well, you're scared, right? You think, was I going too fast? And right away, because you know the police have authority, don't you? You know what the word authority means? They have the right to turn those lights on. I won't have you turn around and I won't ask them how many have ever seen those lights in their rearview mirror. That would be awkward. I have, okay. I was going home from college. I had never been away from home that long before. And I was driving to get home. I think it was spring break. And I was so excited about getting home. I was going down this big hill. I lost track of how fast I was going. And sure enough, I saw the lights. I pulled over and I thought, oh. And, you know, the highway patrolman walked up and he asked me, he says, what's your hurry? And I said, I'm just going home. I haven't been home in a long time. And you know what? He just gave me a warning. That was really nice of him. But he could have written me a ticket. Oftentimes, we're afraid of authority. Something wrong. But today, we want to think about authority in a different way. Because of this cross and Jesus' authority, we can actually be happy when we think about Jesus' authority, because he has the right and the power and the ability to forgive us. And he does. So we should never be afraid of Jesus' authority, because he uses it to bless us and forgive us. So let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your authority, because when you tell us that our sins are forgiven, it's the law. It's everything to us. It happens. It's reality. And so we praise you that you use your authority to come down from heaven and to take our cross for us and give us your authoritative promise of forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Well, thank you, guys. Let's give them a hand for coming up here. And bravo to you for being honest. That was awesome. There were a lot of hands that went up. So, oh, yes. Well, today we're going to talk about authority. Authority that we can rest in. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your authority. We thank you for your promises in Scripture, because when you promise us, we know it's true, it's right, it's going to happen. So help us open up our hearts and minds today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Authority. Simply defined, if you look it up in the dictionary, it's the right and power to command. And of course, we use the police officer to illustrate this. But I want to share with you a recent struggle I've had with authority. Now, this is a slice out of my life. I'm not making a political statement. I'm not making an argument for either side of this issue, but COVID and my struggle with authority. These are excerpts from a non-public Facebook post. I wrote this thing out of frustration. I needed to get it out, and I've never published it because I thought, you know, it is what it is. To be clear, I want you to hear what follows as my struggle, not some kind of statement that I'm taking sides. But here it is. I'm done. Mask arguments, anti-vaccination conspiracy theories, non-vaccine shaming, media bias, and follow the science. What does that mean? I'm done with it. Question: have any of the arguments on either side of this issue convinced the other side? I doubt it. COVID has been both deadly and divisive. The virus is still among us. It's not going away anytime soon, and it only provides us with a few scenarios: avoiding it altogether, getting it while being unvaccinated, or getting it while being vaccinated. And here is the main question from all of this: how will we all live together in the meantime? So pick a position, own it, and please stop trying to convince the world that your vaccination or no vaccination choice is the best or the smartest or the most scientific, the least gullible, the most freedom-loving, or whatever. It really comes down to personal choice. And here's the struggle now. I'm not going to quote some scientific authority, medical doctor, virologist, or any statistics, because both sides seem to be able to do that. And everyone has become a medical expert these days. So, authority. Who are we supposed to believe? Who are we supposed to listen to? Who's right? Who's got the best science? Who's got the best arguments? It's just a lot of struggle, isn't it? And it's affected me deeply. I've had people ask me, Pastor, what should I do? I could give them my decision. Yeah, I got vaccinated because I visit a lot of compromised people, and I want to be able to get in to see them. But having said that, none of my three adult kids got vaccinated, okay? And they had their reasons. So now I might not be alone in this struggle with this modern-day authority. We've got government authority saying one thing, and then, you know, they get caught doing another. And so, but today on this fourth Sunday of Epiphany, I simply with you want to rejoice that we've got someone that we worship whose authority is indisputable, and his name is Jesus Christ. I love this passage from Philippians 2. God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Pretty good for a bunch of Lutherans. Jesus possesses this absolute authority, but he uses it for the benefit of others, for the benefit of us. He uses it for me. He uses it for you. He uses it for the whole world. He is powerful, yet he is trustworthy. So I can take comfort in his authority. I can live in it, with it, and under it. We'll see this in Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 37. Jesus heals a man with an unclean spirit. And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands even the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. The word of the Lord. What a powerful text. There are a number of things that present themselves to us from this text. The first is Jesus' astonishing authority in word. This is what the crowd noticed. Verse 32, "And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority." You see, the problem with their teachers is there was no final authority. The rabbis of Jesus' day would cite other rabbis to try to bolster their arguments, and we see a lot of experts cited today by people, experts on both sides of any issue. But thankfully, when it comes to spiritual issues and it comes to Jesus, we have no need for any authority but his. Jesus speaks with authority. As the divine Son of God, he innately possesses the power of God. No validation needed. It's just there. This is the same word that spoke our creation into being. Creation ex nihilo, creation out of nothing. God said, "Let it be," and it came into being. What we see so powerfully in this text is that when Jesus speaks with authority, he declares freedom. He doesn't say we need to be free or that I wish we could be free. He says, "Be free." And it happens. To those held captive by Satan's insufficient word, freedom is granted. To us, when we come to him as sinners, he says, "Your sins are forgiven." That's final. That settles it. It happens. Jesus' authority exposes the darkness, not only in the synagogue on that day, but he exposes the darkness of my own selfish authority and my own bondage to the devil's authority. Now, I want to briefly explore this for just a moment. the connection between my fallen nature, my self-centered authority, and which goes all the way back to the garden, because remember, Satan came to the first sinners and said, you can be like God, knowing good and evil, if you eat of the fruit that he told you not to eat of. And they did. They took the bite. And so the linkage between my craving, my self-centered authority, and the devil. Beautiful quote from Helmut Tillich, "The bondage of my selfish authority. Bondage exists only as I belong to myself, to my ambitions, my hubris, pride, my self-assertiveness, my passions." So decisive is this theological concept of the devil's foothold. The devil lives in the medium of love of self. I do not love the devil by name, rather I love myself by name, and precisely in doing this, I deliver myself over to him. I never get free from this bondage through actual deeds of moral decision. It comes about only as a decision is made about me. The power of the Diablos cannot be broken by men, but only through the power of another Lord. And we see that Lord in our text today, breaking the bondage of Satan. He broke our bondage too, at the cross. But the good news for us today is that Jesus not only exposes our darkness, he doesn't just diagnose our sickness, but he provides the cure. Let's talk about Jesus' amazing authority in action. Verse 35, "But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be silent and come out of him.'" Jesus not only exposes the darkness, but he takes action to release those in bondage through his power to simply command. Jesus uses his authority to free people, not to enslave them. Jesus acts with the power of his authority for me, for you. He acts for me in creation. This is why Scripture often talks about our salvation as re-creation, new beginnings. He gives that to us. He declares us to be free and forgiven, declares us to be children of God. He acts for me in his life. He lived a perfect life for me. And he clothes us with the robes of his righteousness. He acts for me in his cross. There, he gave his life for me, conquered me with his love and forgiveness, and even prayed for those who crucified him, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he acts for me, and let's not ever forget this, he acts for me in his resurrection. He's not just a story in a book. He's a living Lord, and he's always there with me. We began our first unit on the Lord's Prayer today in confirmation and talked about how prayer is simply talking to God, either silently or aloud. And we also heard that beautiful passage in Romans that Jesus is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us, and that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He does this because he's a living Lord. He comes to us in the midst of our messy worlds and walks among us. So let's talk about Jesus' amazing authority for me. Verse 36, "And they were all amazed and said to one another, 'What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out.'" What is this word? That's the actual word in the Greek text. "I see in this miracle that Jesus' authority, his word, sets me free. He sets me free from the devil's power. He says, 'I am for you and not against you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.' You are free from his power. The devil cannot make you do anything. But he also sets me free from myself, from my own false judgments, from my own inaccurate view of things, from my own self-righteousness or my own independence, thinking I can live without him. He sets me free from that by wrapping his arms around me and loving me in spite of myself. I see in this miracle that I can rest in Jesus' authority. I rest. No taking your foot off the gas when we see the cross. Did I do something wrong? No, we've blown it. Okay, that's out there. The cross gives me comfort. It doesn't make me take my foot off the gas. I don't have to be afraid. So I can rest in his authority over my sin and my death. I can rest in his authority over my present life even. And we must remember that he is risen and living. We can cry out to him in the present, and he hears and acts in that time frame also. All right, time to do some final application. For those of us skeptical of authority, I've been honest with you about my skepticism. I think we all are skeptical a little bit of governmental authority sometimes, but we do have really good people in government, so we have to remember that too. But we must remember, as we live as sinners in a broken world, we need Jesus' authority. His authority was centered in words of truth that were from God. They were displayed in deeds that demonstrated God's gracious will, and he used his godly authority to serve others, not himself. Unlike the short-term goals of human leaders, he uses his power to serve, trusting in God's good eternal goals. Jesus' authority causes us to rest in his protection. Why? Because one look at that cross and we know he is trustworthy. We can rest in his authority. Jesus' authority invites us to imagine his vision for our world and to serve others in the authority of his name. We can be givers and not takers. And God forgive us for being skeptical of all authority. That's more a commentary on us oftentimes than it is about the failings of human leaders. God's given us really good people to lead us, and we should pray for them. We also talked about it in confirmation today too. Paul tells us in Romans 12 that we should pray for our leaders and pray for those who are in authority over us. Sometimes we forget that. We get frustrated, don't we? So let us pray. Lord Jesus, by your authority to sacrifice yourself for me, you have freed me from guilt and condemnation. By the authority of your love, you have freed me to love you as my authority. Grant me faith to rest in your plan for my life, both now and in eternity. Lord Jesus, I want to live in the freedom of your authority, not my own. Set me free from the values of this world, that I may see with your eyes those who struggle and suffer. Free me to speak and act in your name. And Lord, we thank you that your authoritative word speaks to us that our sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Well, we'll see if I got this next song loaded up. Hopefully I didn't make a mistake, but it's not coming up on the screen. So our next song that we're going to sing is You Are the Way. There it is. Okay, I got that one right. Hymn number 464, if the praise singers want to come up, we'll also take our offering during this hymn, verses 1 through 4, You Are the Way.
You are the way, through you alone can we the Father find. In you, O Christ, has God revealed his heart, his will, his mind. You are the truth, your word alone, true wisdom can.
Please be seated. One of the great gifts of God's authority is when he invites us into his very throne room to pray. And this is a time where we practice some intercessory prayers. So we will pray for those mentioned in our bulletin as celebrating birthdays this week, but we will pray for those who are struggling also. So let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for those who are celebrating birthdays this week. And we pray your blessing upon Stathy Spaeth, Ben Honrood, and Terry Pauley. Lord, grant that each of these may know how precious they are in your sight, that by your authoritative word you have proclaimed to them your love for them, your forgiveness, and your lordship, and your constant presence with them. Lord, we pray for those who are during this difficult time struggling with isolation and loneliness, those who are struggling with health, with relationship issues. Lord, those who are struggling with employment, financial issues. Lord, this world can be great, but it can often turn on a dime. And where we find ourselves struggling where yesterday we were happy, and it catches us off guard. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling right now. We pray that you might speak to their hearts and minds, that they are loved and that they are cared for by you. And Lord, as a church, help us to reach out to those who struggle. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, in this moment of silence, we lift up our own hearts to you as we live in this real world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our time together this morning draws to a close. I'd like to invite you to stand and join in singing the Law Gospel Doxology.
Your perfect law exposes me. I feel my sin and desperate need. My best good works are powerless to satisfy your righteousness. But there is one who
God's peace be to each and every one of you. Thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. It's been good to be together and receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our authoritative and gracious Lord.
Amen.